All right, you Poindexter, let's get this right. Hey, hey, I'm Krusty the Clown. Here comes Slideshowman. Slideshowman.
Terry, it's good to hear from you. Want to go to Red Lobster, catch some grub?
No, Andy, I don't want to go to Red Lobster and catch some...
I'm so out of practice.
We're back.
Oh.
As you can see, there's no intro because we don't really have a topic. It's just the two of us freewheeling it.
Hello. Fingernail. Jesus. Well, what have you got? Oh, my God.
I got myself a fizz, Andy.
Oh, yeah?
A strawberry fizz.
No. My voice may be a bit low because I'm currently in Joni's room recording this. It's the furthest possible room away from where Marla sleeps, but I'm still conscious of it.
next you'll be out in the porta potty.
Well, if only my garage wasn't full of crap.
You should do a little home conversion or something.
I've got a garage right at the end of the garden, a massive one. Well, a big one. And it was covered in... I just dumped my shit there. What flavor is that?
You see this ice?
Yeah, I see it.
Strawberry.
Ooh.
That came from the refrigerator. How about that, what? Andy? I'm living it up. I got one of those in the new place I'm living. We got one of those. You press it in. That's worth the whole thing alone.
You didn't tell me that.
Well, I was saving it for when we got on air.
Oh, what a dream.
So I've moved house since...
Tell me all about the move, Terry. Tell me as much as you want to tell me.
Trying to keep it kosher. Yeah, but it was not easy. It was not fun. It was not chill. Mm-mm. Moving never is. Actually, compared to our last move, it was okay. But, you know, a pregnant wife who, you know, it was very stressed.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Say no more.
Putting it nicely and... you know, it was the kind of situation where our house that we're supposed to be moving into our new build in Wicklow has been pushed back till the new year. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, well, that's, you know, at least we know now, because it was like that you could be in by the end of October. And our friend whose house we were renting off him, he was like, I'm looking to sell the house. So he was kind of, he wasn't in any rush to get us out, but we were also like conscious of it's going away.
Right.
And we were looking at, renting in Dublin, renting in Wicklow. Like, Wicklow, there's fucking nothing to rent. Crazy. It's mental. And then Dublin, it was like a two-bed apartment for 2,300. Like,
so the rumours are true. Mm-hmm. There is a housing crisis out there.
Oh, my Lord. And then I was just like, you know what? Like, just asking people, like, saying to my parents, you got a bunch of rich friends. Hey, why don't you see if they don't have a house there they're not using, like... so it was a Friday night. I was in the pub with my mum and my dad. And then Saturday morning, we got a call back from a place in Wicklow. It was supposed to be Wicklow Town.
Yeah.
But then they were like, it's not actually Wicklow Town. It's Potter's Point.
Ah, Potter's Point, of course.
Do you know it?
Sure.
It's by British.
Yeah. Bay, oh, like. Imagine. You'd be only 10 minutes from me.
It was gorgeous and all. I think it was Holiday Homes. But they were like, we're selling this like massive thing that like all the houses are connected to. Yeah. So they were selling it, looking to sell it for like over $1 million. So they were like, we want short term lease. They don't want anybody. So it was like, oh, perfect for us. That was Saturday morning. And then Saturday afternoon, we were in the park and my mom called me. It's like, oh, like one of my friends, they go to Spain in the winter. They normally go like October, November. That's it. Like they go October, November, come back December, Jan, and then go back over like Feb, March. Yeah. And they were like, but they'll go for the 6 months if you can like cover their rent if you want to and all. And like it was just down the road from us in the North Strand. Mm. So I was kind of like, that fucking could be deadly. Now it's like a two bed house, but it's like, it's one of those cool old houses where I'm downstairs. I'm in the dining room and the kitchen is downstairs. And then you go upstairs to the bedrooms and the living room is upstairs as well.
Say what?
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I'm liking it, but like I can be down here and like talk to my heart's content. I mean, I'll probably get a text message now being like, pipe down.
Keep it down, but,
but
that'll take it out, yeah, that whole moving business. I mean,
it was not good. And
especially it's hard enough when you're in your 20s. Like me and Kerry moved every year or two throughout our 20s, and that's
traveling wheelbarrows.
Yeah, and that's grand. Like, you know, you just bring what little shit you have to this next place. But then so when you have kids and a kid on the way and someone who's about to pop,
I will say, like, Faye's brother was such a huge help.
Oh yeah,
like he organized a moving van for us from his company. He had like helped us like put a bunch of stuff in storage. And like I was like, oh, that's most of our stuff. And then like we're moving down here. I was like, how is there still so many fucking things? Like, like that day of moving, it was just like lifting and you know, calloused. It was like centre hands.
Yeah, I remember again. Them.
Like I was like, it's like I hadn't worked a shift of manual labour in so long. I was like, my fucking hand. I used to come home from centre. I'd be washing my hands for like 10 minutes to be like, now they feel slightly normal.
They just felt like, not unclean, but like just that there was like still a layer on them or something. They were like, you could scratch with them, you know what I mean? Like sandpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that money, that stock, that dusty stock, the cardboard shit and all that. Still.
So that was like, we actually got moved in like most of our stuff in like 2 days, but that was a bit intense. And then like, so we're here, what, 2 weeks?
How's it going?
Over 2 weeks. Good, we're settled in now. Like first few nights, Bonnie was like, here's the thing. In her old room, we had one of those jiggle knobs.
Oh yeah.
So she couldn't open the door. Now she has a pull. So you just hear the door and then like the little feet coming up the stairs. And like, because like hers is on like the landing level, and then there's like a little stairs up to our bedroom. Then you just, like one of the nights she just appeared in the room, was like, Mammy. We're like, Bonnie. So she, like, I was thinking to myself, like we had like a good run of like, hey, 5 nights without her waking up. Like, great. And then like last night it was like 12 o'clock. She was like, I want to go in Mommy's bed. And like literally like at one point I was like trying to talk to her. She's like, no, Dad, no.
Not you.
And like, she's like, yeah. She's like lying on the floor and like giving out to me. And then I was like, okay, like I'll just like leave her a second and then I'll go to bring her down. And like before I could even like say something to her, you just heard like, she's like just conked out on the floor. Like, just bring her into the bed. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. It's there's been similar. Well, not exactly similar situation, but at home the sleep situation is stable, I will say.
Oh, okay. That's
stable.
Good.
Because
that was a good sign.
Yeah. Like we're really, folks, this is us catching up and just sort of letting you in on it. I mean you're very welcome, but we've been sending each other, and I tell you what, we've been sending each other video messages back and forth, me and Terry, since the pod went on hiatus. And at the start I was thinking like, I was like, geez, this is a lot of work to listen and to record and all this sort of stuff, you know what I mean? But like, I enjoy doing it, and now texting feels weird. When I texted you today about the pod, I was like,
should have sent the video.
But there was something like, whereas the podcast was very sort of, and I'm going a bit of a tangent here, but while the podcast was quite therapeutic for both of us, I find that I get a bit of that from the video messages, because you don't really vocalize your thoughts for the day. And we would just literally message you and be like, how was your day?
And the two of us, we were both going through like such like stressful times, and it was like anything, we're just like, and so this fucker comes up to me and says, and then like the end, we're like, like, just
it really helped. So
we should definitely put together that super
yes cut. I should just put all the messages that we sent together and just stick it up there. But yeah, so far it's good, but we went through like, you know, COVID. We all got COVID after dodging it for, actually I'm convinced now that I had it that December
first time around.
Because it was just, still have a cough from it, So Myla had that. She had colic. She had flu. She's teething now. So, like, it's not been the easiest. And you know what I find as well? She's such a lovely baby when, you know, she's not in pain or, you know, sick or something like that. But I find, like, my patience, I don't know if you'll find it yourself, although you kind of are already, you have a young kid, but, like, that I had when I was 29 for, like, baby-related stuff is not the same as my patience at 37. You know what I mean? Where I'm just like, I just...
Like, you're quick to anger. I am like that, where it's like Bonnie waking up and like,
oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, and Faye like, your attitude stinks. I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I just want to sleep.
So, well, don't give it out to me. I'll not give it out to you. You're just the only one here.
And then I'm like, she's like, don't go in there. I'm like, hold on, like,
fiddle-dee-dee.
What's wrong, honey? Are you okay?
Paul Rudd in Knocked Up, where he gets told off and he's like, happy birthday. Compose yourself.
I thought she'd take you back. You know why she just rejected me? Because you're such a shitty husband. She thinks I'm going to turn into a shitty husband. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
100%. Like, there's so much in that film that they about they parenthood nailed. They get right.
At the minute it's good. She tends to wake up maybe at about 3-ish for her suitors falling out, so I go downstairs and put it back in. But like, there's been some nights where I've been up and down those stairs every 15 minutes.
May as well just like bring a blanket and go into the room next door.
There is a bed in that room, which I have gone in, which is nice.
That's good.
But then I was at the hospital there with Joni like a week or two ago. She had some really bad, like, what I can only describe as like a honking cough. And really, like, even breathing was like, you know. So we went to Tala Hospital and all that. They were happy enough with her. They just said, just keep an eye on it. And they gave her medicine and she's been fine since. But there was just a period there. And then the crescendo of all this was, there was my car broke down, so I had to get the coach for a week.
Oh, I remember you messaging me that.
Like, my car broke down. Myla had,
why aren't you working from home?
I know. Myla had colic. And then we had this big awards thing for work that I had to edit a ton of videos, and there was like a deadline approaching. I was just firing them out. So just literally from every angle, it was like, even my transit, my beloved transit, where I had an hour in the car to listen to something or whatever and decompress. Now I'm legging it for coaches, for stanking ass coaches to sit next to some chump. So that was like, that was the worst, but it's improved since then.
Just thinking of taking the coach again, like, I don't like the bus first of all, but like, there's something about the Dart that I'm like, like, it's never as jam packed as I would imagine a coach is.
Yeah.
Plus, I normally have the buggy with me, so if there's a seat for four, I drive that buggy right in there and I take it up, and I'm like, I dare you to sit down opposite me. Come on,
go on. Try it.
I'm bloody dare you.
I think it's because the Dart doesn't really have any big turns. It's a more pleasurable ride, you know? But anyway, what else has been going on, Terry?
That's the big thing. With babies coming in about a month.
Hell yeah.
Fun and games, huh?
When is the official...
You think I look tired now? Like,
when is the official due date?
28th. I think they said we can go as far as the 5th of December. They were saying he was measuring quite big, but actually we had a growth scan there and they said it's fine, like, because they're talking about maybe having to do like a scheduled section.
Yes,
but we're not gonna go for that, hopefully. Mm-hmm. We're gonna try the natural way.
Did she have a C-section the first one?
Fucking emergency section, man. It was the biggest balls up.
Now, let me tell you.
And we went 2 weeks over with the, you know, the fucking Hollow Street. We're not going back there. I think we're going to return now. I wouldn't fucking go back to Hollow Street.
No. The Rotunda I found was great, but it's funny the similarities because like Kerry also had an emergency section for the first one.
Everyone I know who went over
had an emergency section.
Yeah, an emergency section. Well, the induction did not work, and like close to like 10 people now.
It's mad,
they have
isn't
the same.
It?
Like, they have the same story. It's like 2 weeks over. They break your waters. They're about to put you on the drip, or they get you on the trip, whatever the drip, and then it's like, no, we have to go into surgery.
Yeah,
like our one was like complete like
mad frantic like.
Well, we were there on the Thursday, and it was like they do a little strep B test, and like if you test positive for it, you're supposed to be on antibiotics straight away. And they did the test, and they said test negative overnight. Like, and Faye was like, I'm cold overnight, take the temperature, fine. Next day, again, like her fever broke, and then it was like the next day, cold. They checked it, fine. And I stayed overnight. I'd learn now, like if we had to go again, I wouldn't be staying overnight. Like, I'd be like going home and coming back in. Or like have my phone there in case of emergency. But like, so I was like fucking like, didn't sleep a wink, and like ready to fucking blow. I was like, we're supposed to be going, where aren't we fucking going?
Yeah,
why are they going ahead of us? Like, what the fuck's going on here? And we were just about to be brought in, and then it was like, somebody said to us, the woman who did the strep B test, who had been gone, disappeared since then, came back and was like, oh, that girl tested positive, she should be on antibiotics.
Yeah,
she should have gotten an antibiotic for it. It's like, fucking 36 hours ago she tested positive for it. Like, so we had to wait there, the antibiotic,
the balls up,
and I was just fucking raging. And then we got into the delivery ward, and your mom was like, oh, like, she's like, you guys are supposed to be here like 5 hours ago. And I was like, oh, well, we were delayed just for the antibiotic, but that was only like 2 hours ago. And they're like, no, you're supposed to, we told them to bring you over like 3 hours before that. And I was like, oh, like, you shouldn't have told me that.
Yeah.
Like, and
squaring up to her, then, like, shouldn't have fucking told me that. Sir, please. No, you really shouldn't have told me that.
No, you don't fucked up. She was the best one. I'll never forget her name. Sarah Connor.
Isn't it funny that, I kind of remember the midwife who helped us with our first, and I seen her on the bus because I used to get the bus near the rotunda in town, and I remember saying to Kerry, I'm like, if I see her, should I go up to her and be like, oh, I just want to say thanks for blah blah blah. She'd be like, she's like, no, she'll think you're a fucking weirdo. I was like, all right, but
I think it would have been okay. So maybe that's just me.
But the second with Myla, the plan was to try for it natural, and if not, have a planned section. So we ended up with the planned section. It was night and day, the difference between. Kerry said, like, I was almost feeling guilty, like it was so easy. The plan,
so easy.
It's like just a normal little, not little procedure, but just like a normal procedure. Now, Wexford General, I tell you, I wouldn't recommend that if you are.
Yeah, I've heard, and you know, I'm in the hospital biz.
What are those clowns in Wexford General doing? Everything up until the after, like up until the birth, was great, and then after that it was a bloody nightmare.
I tell you, that was the other thing. I really felt like I didn't enjoy the birth and then the aftermath, because like the birth was so stressful. Like at one point your woman had sent me to get ice. She's like, because like Faye had a temperature, and she's like, will you go get ice? And I was filling up a bucket of ice to like put on her back to cool her down, and I came back in, and your mom was like, oh, look, the doctor's after coming. We have to go up to surgery. And I was like, oh, and they're like, yeah, we have to do a section. And like, Faye did not want a section.
Yeah.
And I kind of was saying, is that okay with you, Faye? And she was like, I've already signed the thing. Like, I can't. I'm fucked. Like, I was like, okay, grand. And but like half an hour later, you're holding the baby. And then like they sent me home Friday night, came back in Saturday morning, and I was in the best form. I was like, oh, look, Faye, a little baby. This is great. And I'd say after about 2 hours, I was ready to fucking kill everyone in that room, because I tell you, the lack of respect or regard
the other
parents, for anyone else,
the other people. Oh, that was fucks.
Oh my god, it was like me, Faye, and Bonnie. That, you know, you're supposed to be your partner, and visiting hours were 6 to 8, and you're supposed to have two people at a time. Well, whatever time I got in there at 11:30, 12. And already there was just in the corner, there was 6 people there all day, and it was some little snot-nosed fucker just being so noisy, and like Faye's trying to rest. I was like, just like trying to hold the baby while she's asleep, get it, you know, a bit of a fever. And I was just like, oh, would you? I just felt like being like,
will you shut up?
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, so this is a Saturday, like, Saturday night, like, my mom and dad came in to visit. I think my sister and Mikey came in, and then Faye's dad. So we were like, okay, you come in for half an hour, and then they come, you know, the shifts. And then it was, like, literally the far end of the corner, like, 10 people. They might as well have been fucking passing out cigars and, like, cracking open brandy. And I was just like, oh, I was losing it. And, like, Faye actually... when everybody was gone, she's like, I need you to go. And I was like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
she's like, I can tell you're bullying. Go meet your parents. Go for a pint with them. Come back in the morning. And like, she was like saying then, like, she's like, I wasn't trying to get rid of you, but like, it was better for everybody if you went. Like, and it was just like, I was like, and I remember telling one of Faye's friends about this because they were having a baby. Yeah. And they were like, I've never seen you this angry. I was like, am I angry? Like, and she's like, I've never seen you this negative. I was like, well, negative, yeah, because everybody else in the world is a fucking asshole.
Because the whole world is a... That's my...
Well, am I talking to you, Pinhead?
Excuse me. Am I talking to you, Pinhead? Am I?
Please don't call me Pinhead.
But that's my thing as well. Like, angry or... like being angry when I shouldn't be angry, or being, you know, like, and I'm always thinking like, I'm not angry, but like,
I'm not mad.
But like, there's a, like, when we're all together at the weekend, like, we have to sort of plan for me to eat throughout the day, like, so, blah, 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 you can get a roll or you can get something, keep you going there, and then blah, 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 well,
2 o'clock, we have Andy's snack, we've got,
then Milo's snack, so yeah, I definitely get hangry. I tell you the biggest thing that grinds my gears, to quote an old phrase, going food shopping in Aldi, particularly with a newborn, I found, was very stressful. Like, I get stressed anyway in those places where I go in all happy and like that 10 minutes in, I'm like, you're right.
You know? Flustered. I get flustered.
Yeah, you know, or like, Kerry be like, right, I think that's it. I'm like, right, like, passive aggressively walking super fast as hell. Right, she said that was it. I turn around, she's gone looking for something else. I'm like, but anyway, I'm actually a nice guy, you know. We're both nice guys. We're both nice guys, eh?
I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy.
Now, look, I'm sure, Terry, that you've got a bunch of movies that you're chomping at the bit to talk about.
It was the spooky season, Andy. Right. Did you get any spookies in?
Not a bit. Goosebumps 2. Not a bit. Goosebumps 2.
Hey, good movie.
That was good.
Here's a little tidbit about Goosebumps 2. Went to see it in the cinema with my nephew. Okay. Here's a little tidbit. Yeah. Jack Black was originally not going to reprise his role in it. Well, the voice of the dog Slappy. is not Jack Black.
And it was in the first, wasn't it?
It was in the first. Yeah. And they tested it, and it was like, everybody's like, where's Jack Black? So they literally just, in the third reel of the movie, like, he appears for like 10 minutes, like,
there is literally no need for him in that movie at all. It's like, they call him, he rushes over, they've already saved the day. He's like, oh, okay, that's it.
Like, but that's the whole thing, like, he was not supposed to be, and I was real, like, I got like, I'm like, oh yeah, like, Jack Black, brilliant.
Yeah.
Because I knew he, like, it's not him doing the voice. So I was actually quite pleasantly surprised when he showed up.
It was good. We were watching it on Halloween night. But that's all. Nice. But that's all I've got. I'm sure you got a list as long as your arm there. So why don't you hit me with your top three? Let's be reasonable.
Ooh, three.
Terry's top three.
I went to the cinema.
Okay.
Went to see The Banshees of Inisherin.
Is it good?
It's fucking brilliant. It's
is it like an In Bruges sort of thing?
Yes and no.
Right.
Like, actually, In Bruges has a lot of melancholy in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot less plotty than In Bruges. You know, In Bruges is like, Oh,
plot out the wazoo.
Not really. There's just, you know, there's a strong, well, we're here to do a thing.
Yeah, you know.
And in this one, it's more like, there's, I don't know if you saw the trailer.
I did see the trailer, yes.
So the whole thing is like Brendan Gleeson's character one day just stops wanting to be friends with Colin Farrell's character.
Right.
And he keeps kind of bothering him. Why don't you want to be my friend anymore? And all? And then he says to him, if you don't stop bothering me, I'm going to cut off my fingers. Like, so if you come over to me one more time, I'm going to cut my finger off. And he's like a great fiddle player. So it's in the, like, the 20s, right, in Ireland, off the coast of Ireland. So they've nothing else.
Yeah.
So like music is like the only entertainment. But also people are like, this is mad, the two of these guys. But there's something about like Colin Farrell when he's kind of playing a dim character, but he's also like a very sweet character and a very sad character. All these different things
I can see that, yeah,
rolled into one. And then there's like bits where like he explodes with rage and you're like, whoa.
Mm.
And like it's almost like really like you're taken aback by, yeah, it. And Brendan Gleeson is Brendan Gleeson. He's great. Like, he's brilliant as ever. I think it's probably Colin Farrell's best performance.
Ooh.
It's very funny. Like, there's some lines in it that you're like, I don't know why. It kind of something that like you think it's almost a parody of a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
But it works really well. Nice. Like, it works so well that I was like, it's stupid, but it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Your man Barry Keoghan is.
Oh, I like him.
He's really good. Great in face. It as well. Like, great. And like there's a bit in the, like, because Pat Short runs the bar and he's like, Barry Keoghan shows up in the bar and he's like, you're Bard. And he's like, you said till April. He's like, what day is it? He's like, well, it's April now.
Mm.
And he's like, what's Brendan doing? Whatever. Your man's like, what's he doing over there at the fiddle? And there's women. There is women. Good women too. Like, as in, like, there's nothing else on this, yeah, island. Yeah. Like, so a lot of it is kind of like, oh, like, looks fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, it
like,
did look
I think to myself, how, like, you forget what a beautiful country,
yeah,
we live in. Because we live in cities.
Yeah.
Well, like, but, like, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, we're going to get the bus back to a suburb just outside of town. And, like, what you're seeing in there, it's like all these, like, there's a scene where, like, a lake, and it's, I wouldn't even call it a hill, but it's not quite a mountain, it's just this like giant green wall,
yeah,
looking down. You're like, wow, like, that's cool looking.
That's,
I think it might like... be Achill. I think it might be Achill Island is filmed on. I actually didn't
remember. Right, I'm thinking of something in Kerry. I don't know my geography. I'm not a big geography man.
It's great.
What would you give it out of 10?
I gave it a 5 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Oh, how's your letterbox thing going?
I just keep logging.
Okay.
Just keep logging.
Do you, and you don't write the reviews, you just give the stars?
No.
Okay.
No. I just give the stars.
And do you follow other people's letterbox? Is that how it works?
I do. And then like I'll be like, oh, he gave it 4 stars, but I thought he
had good taste.
Sometimes, and, but it's like...
So someone looks at your letterbox and it's all 5 and 4.5 star reviews.
This guy
love really movies, everyone. Again, I just love the movies.
Yeah, well, that's me.
Yeah, you're a movies man. You always have been. Hey, who's there? Can I say hi?
No, we're recording. This is a podcast.
Hello.
Andy's saying hello. Do you want to say hello?
Yeah. Yay.
That might have been picked up on the mic.
Heard it. I heard every word you said.
Yeah. So we're just chatting about you know.
Harry, use a coaster.
Okay. Well,
hey.
I don't respect wood.
Hey.
Is there a coaster there?
No, just don't. Harry, I'm just a
coaster. Yes, folks. Yes, folks.
It's not a fucking house.
Yes. Get up, mate. Get up.
Use the change in
that. All right.
Like, oh, brilliant. Not my head in that.
Well,
you pig.
You can apologise for this afterwards.
I will not.
Hello. Bye.
Goodbye. Great. I'm leaving that in.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy breezy podcast, so.
I have to tell you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
I've clearly missed the pod because I was so excited about coming on today. But I cannot tell you how happy I am at all my free time at lunchtime and work. I was only there yesterday, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch something on YouTube or whatever.
Here's the problem, and so like maybe we should tell the people what we're gonna be doing in the new year when we come back.
Go on.
We will cut the pod in half. Essentially every second week we're gonna do a movie.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving up the movies, Andy. You open this door.
He's not giving up the movies, folks. But
meet me halfway.
Here's how I think it should go. Let's just do this here.
Yeah.
We should do a Terry week and an Andy week, right? So
you do whatever you want in your Andy week.
I may have a little mini series of my own. I may want to freewheel it. I may want to do a give you some research, huh? How about that?
Hey, great, yeah, perfect.
So we'll do that. Now, and on the movies, let's keep it in the realm of, you know, popular culture. Oh, sure, we said what we were doing anyway. I won't give it away, but that's fine. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, okay. I forgot we had that conversation.
What I would ask of you, because I was thinking about when we had Erin on, and she was like, you're like, and I'm sitting in my car looking at this at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's like, that's the problem right there. Like,
I don't get time to watch them.
Make time to split it over the course of two nights. Split over the course of two nights.
If you give me
it's an hour 15 per night if we're doing a 2.5 hour.
Okay. Yes. And that's what I normally do. That was only the one time I've ever done that with the phone. I've always watched it at home.
I don't believe it. I swear. Not for a second.
No, but the problem is...
Watching on your lunch break.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, on my PC, though.
Not good.
Yeah, well, that's what I enjoy them the most. I watched Life Aquatic on my lunch break. Bloody loved it. You know?
All right.
The problem is the movie itself. That, like, if it was a movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm dying to see that, and I'll watch it. But it's like, it became the there was one or two Nicolas Cage ones where...
Face Off. I gave you Face Off,
yeah,
Andy.
It was brilliant, and I was very excited.
I gave you The Rock.
But when you get to ones like Pig, like, you know...
Great movie, great fucking movie. And it's like 87
Nelson
minutes.
With Ryan Gosling. These sort of ones where I'm just like, I'm going in with that attitude. Now, is it the
what
right?
Was that?
Is it, excuse me. That was
Grant, it's the wrong attitude. Boom and open
it's
mind.
The wrong attitude. Boom and open mind. But you know, so I think I'm very happy with this new format because it became a week was so fast. I'm like, I just watched a movie. I gotta watch another movie. Like, how does he have the time?
But sometimes it wouldn't even be a week. We'd be like recording Sunday and then recording Tuesday. why do we push it off till Sunday and then have a recording on Tuesday? Like, it's like crunching it back to back.
But to be honest, like a lot of it was just that like we had said off air, but like when we started the current format of recording two every week and doing all this is like we only had one child between us, and now now we're a month away from having four kids between us. Yeah. And
what the hell has happened
to be fair to us, we're always on and doing it and recording for whatever 3 hour session.
A lot of content out there for people to sink their teeth in.
So I think we're going to probably dial it back slightly, but we'll still definitely have at least one a week. And I'm so much more excited about that. I'm excited to come in, get all the energy out in one, be in the studio, if we can,
you know,
where there's a lovely comfy couch in there now, Terry. We'll be a couch pod, huh? You can sit cross-legged like Buddha. Huh?
Huda?
Buddha?
I can't do that anymore. I tell you, like, I did something to my knee.
Yeah,
moving
how was
into
your
this
knee?
House. Oh, and I couldn't give out about it.
No.
Face eight months pregnant.
Do your job, asshole.
Yeah, there was one point where I was like limping, or like I had a grimace on my face.
Limping, are you?
And then she was like, "What?" She's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "It's nothing." She's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, That's my fucking knee. He's like, I don't care about your knee.
You asked me.
Yeah. Not to that. That's me exaggerating for effect. But she's like, I'm 8 months pregnant. Like, I know, but like, know. That's why my face was the way it was. Here, I watched Halloween Ends.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
Not good.
Kind of figured.
Great. Some really good ideas. The opening of it is brilliant.
Have they?
The opening of it.
I was going to say, have they ran that franchise into the ground?
I mean, they have multiple times.
Right, okay.
Like, there was 6 Halloweens from the 1978 original, which is a masterpiece. Right. And then they up to 6 or 7. And then after Scream, they like, in the early 90s, was the last one. Then after Scream, they did Halloween H2O. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember it was out.
Yeah, but that was like, oh, they're going to... It's
20 teens. Years. Yeah, I remember that.
And it was like, oh, it's... I don't know. I think it was the same writer of Scream, or if it wasn't, he definitely like took a pass at it, because there's loads of like... It was the same guy that did Dawson's Creek, and there was loads of like Dawson's Creek influences in
right.
it. And then they did Brilliant. Halloween Halloween Resurrection.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Which was the one with Busta Rhymes in it, if you remember.
I don't.
He was like karate fighting Michael Myers at one point. And Busta then Blood. Then like in the late aughts, Rob Zombie rebooted.
Aughts. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Aughts.
Yeah, art dickety.
Not.
Arts.
Arts. I've never heard that before. Yeah. You said that very casually, like you've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
The arts.
Anyway, okay. Rob Zombie rebooted it, and then he did a sequel to that. They both were terrible. And then David Gordon Green, director of Pineapple Express, did Halloween 2018, and it was written by Danny McBride.
What?
Did you watch that one?
No, is that the one where she's like, she's
like a survivalist.
Yeah,
like,
she's squared off her house and she's fucking.
Did you watch
that
one?
No, but I remember you telling me about it.
That's good one, man. That's good. And then Halloween Kills is kind of stupid, but then Halloween Ends. Like Halloween Kills is like, it's set on the same night as the first one, and it's like the whole town are like revolting.
Yeah.
Against Michael Myers, and it's like, oh, this is the effect he has on the town, mob mentality and stuff like that. And it's like, good idea, really not great execution. Right. And then the last one is like, it's like 4 years after Halloween Kills, the latest one, like, and it's like, it's kind of like, what has it done to the memory of the town? Like every Halloween, people are scared that Michael Myers might come back.
Yeah.
And it has them acting different. And then it's like, there's a death at the start. And the person responsible for the death is like treated like an outcast.
Right.
And it's like, oh, he's like the new freak of the town. Some very interesting ideas. But it's like also, the main character is this new guy, Corey.
That get like, the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Show me him like, now.
Yeah, it's like, we're at the end.
Who the hell are you?
And like they all the trailers, like the final showdown between Laurie and Michael Myers. Michael Myers is on screen for like 10 minutes in this movie. And like a lot of it doesn't make sense when he's on screen. Right.
What did you give it on Letterboxd, this one?
I think I gave it two and a half. Like.
Scathing.
But, and this is the last one, this is my third.
Okay, go on.
Andy, this is the one I'm telling you to watch, and you'll fucking love it.
Barbarian?
Oh, my Lord. I was hooting and a hollering watching this one. I was literally, like, at my screen. Like I don't even want to tell you the plot.
Great.
It's just brilliant. It's, like go into it knowing, like everybody Nothing. Said, know as little as you can. Mm-hmm. And, like, I knew something about it.
Yeah.
When I went in. But that's like the first 30 minutes that I knew. Right. And that like, and then there's something happens after that and you're like, what the fuck?
Right. And I definitely want to see that one because it's past the test of Terry's recommended it. So that's one. I need two recommendations. So usually if you recommend something and Kerry's sister recommends it.
Did she recommend it?
No.
but that's usually the, like, okay, we should definitely try that.
Twofer.
But if you've recommended it and I see it a lot online, like on Twitter, oh, which I have seen. Oh, it's blown up on
our Twitter. Like,
yeah. So chances are I'm seeing you liking a lot of stuff about it, but I'm seeing it on Twitter a lot. So I was like, okay, that's one that I've actually marked. And I did say it to Kerry and she's like, yeah, that sounds good. But life, she is a motherfucker. Huh?
We have a weekend coming up.
Yeah. So, you know,
it's like a 90-minute movie.
Is it? Well, or like, you should have started with that.
Or maybe it's like an hour 40, something like that. Yeah, 104.
Yeah. Okay. What did you give that, 5-star?
5.
Best horror you've seen? One of the best horrors you've seen?
One of the best ones I've seen in years. What? Just in terms... What's my favourite?
Yes, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. It's a toss-up.
It's a toss-up.
If we're talking different genres of horror, if we're talking slasher,
Scream.
Yeah. We watched 1, 2, and 4. We're gonna get 5 in maybe at the weekend. three is the one you don't need to watch.
Okay.
It adds nothing to the mythology. If anything, it muddles it more. So you can just forget. It's the worst one.
The Tokyo Drift of the series.
I see. Tokyo Drift has kind of been reclaimed. I'd say it's the Too Fast, Too Furious of the
dog know? Shit. Gotcha.
Yes. if we're talking monster movie,
yeah, just give me your favorite horror.
The thing.
Yeah, but okay. What's the scariest horror that you've ever seen? That's what I really want to know.
The Shining, probably.
Ooh, okay.
Or like Scream. The first time I watched Scream, I was terrified.
Right.
Because I'd seen the trailer. You know, the trailer is...
Yeah.
You know, the popcorn, what's your favorite scare? Like, that whole it's opening iconic. Screen is... Yeah, it's... The Shining, though, was one...
That's when just I was, like, 12 or 13.
Oh, my Lord. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Or, like, when he's walking into that room with the lady in the tub.
First time I've seen a naked lady.
Yeah, but I'm like, don't go in that room. Like, I want to turn off the TV. You know, that kind of way. Like, that's probably the scariest. Right. What about you?
You know, like, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but like the ones that actually scared me at the time was like ones that you'd look back on now and be like, like The Grudge. Signs, I remember at the time thinking that was kind of scary. I'd say now probably like
Signs was scary.
I thought so.
Signs was like, you're like, ugh.
Yeah,
like, when you see that alien in the grainy footage, you're like, what the fuck.
Now that one didn't get me, but you know what, like, because I remember thinking like, I wish I hadn't seen that, because I remember thinking,
oh, really?
That kind of took me out of it. But like, even once, like some the of these kitchen? Little ones, like yeah the kitchen one, or like just when you hear them like during the house. But stuff like that, I remember thinking was deadly. I wouldn't say
Oculus was deadly. It wasn't scary, yeah, but I was like,
Hereditary is probably the best, one of the best horrors I think I've seen, because that was
Hereditary. It's fucked up.
It's like, so, and like there were so many bits in it where I was like, what? Like, it wasn't like scary, like nothing really makes me scared, you know what I mean, watching that now. Unless and you know, like, it just, Hereditary didn't do it cheaply, you know what I mean, where you just get like, the biggest, something that makes me want to turn off a horror right then and there is when someone's like, who's there? And then it's like, boo, just kidding, you asshole. Like, I want to grab the TV and smash it. Again, not an angry person.
That's like something from There's Someone Inside Your House.
Yeah.
Worst
cheap,
fucking
cheap
movie.
Shots. Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah. It was bad.
Terrible.
Anyway, what else should we talk about? Should we talk about football? Sports?
We got some time. Hey, sports, combat sports.
Hey, okay.
Wrestling, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Did you see...
I haven't seen anything.
The whole thing. Will we talk about CM Punk?
Yes,
his meltdown.
So
like,
he had some sort of meltdown backstage and on at some press conference.
So he won. They made him champ in Chicago, right?
Yeah, Chicago. Yeah.
But he apparently in the like 5 minutes into the match, he tore his bicep.
Right.
Like, and you could tell because he was like he did like some flying clothesline or something, then he was like feeling his arm the whole time. Yeah. And they did a whole angle with, remember MJF?
Yeah.
Like his big rival. He'd been gone off TV, like, and he'd been gone off social media, like, because like he had a whole freak out on television where he was like, basically told Tony Khan to fire him.
Right.
Like swore on TV. He's like, fire me, you fucking mark.
Right.
And then stormed off. And people were like, Jesus, because there was a whole like contract dispute and all that. Like, so
it was MJF.
Like,
great.
Yeah. He's fucking brilliant. But they, like, they blurred the line so much, but he was gone.
Yeah.
And then like he returned at the pay-per-view and he showed up at the end and they got like a big, like, in Punk's hometown, like MJF, MJF. Right. So apparently that added to it as well. But like was sitting there. They do like a post press conference thing, yeah, kind of like UFC. Like, and he just kind of went on like a big rant.
Yeah,
about, like,
I seen the rant. All right.
It's 2022. I haven't been friends with this guy since at least 2014, late 2013. And the fact that I have to sit up here because we have irresponsible people who call themselves EVPs and couldn't fucking manage a target, and they spread lies and bullshit and put into a media that I got somebody fired when I have fuck all to do with him, want nothing to do with him, do not care where he works, where he doesn't work, where he eats, where he sleeps. And the fact that I have to get up here and do this in 2022 is fucking embarrassing. And if y'all are at fault, fuck you. If you're not, I apologize. But what did I ever do in this world to deserve an empty-headed fucking dumb fuck like Hangman Adam Page to go out on national television and fucking go into business for himself? For what? What did I do, Dave? What did I ever do?
Cole Cabana and like all this stuff, and then afterwards, like, because he called out like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, like they burst into his room and a brawl ensued
after the press conference.
After the press conference, like, because like when Jericho was doing his part of the press conference, him and Tony Khan are getting up, and Jericho's like, something happened backstage. You can see him like whispering into Tony Khan's ear, and then it was like the next show was like, the world title has been vacated, and they just done like a trios belts, which was like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega had won, and the trios belts have been vacated. Right. So like they've all been off TV. Apparently, like Punk is out on his way out of the company. They're like negotiating a buyout of his contract.
He's fucking like, trouble. Like, he's just trouble.
But like this week on Dynamite, for spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched it or has any interest, the whole thing with like Punk and Colt Cabana, you know the way, like they used to be best friends. They had a falling out because he was on like Colt's podcast and was talking shit about WWE, and they both got sued by WWE.
Right.
And then he covered Colt's legal bills for a long time, and then they had a falling out. And like Colt sued Punk to like cover whole big thing, but like he hasn't been on TV for ages, and like he was back on TV this week,
right?
So it's almost like a big
ultimate
like,
insult.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, so I saw somebody post and it was like, pettiness in wrestling is unrivaled, and I was like, it's probably like Tony Khan being like, but what had me reeling this week was Jeff Jarrett is now in AEW. It's like, what year Double am I living J? In? He showed up like, and like he looks fucking great. Like did the whole signature guitar smash. Like, and like,
brilliant.
I was just like, the year is 2022. Like,
I know.
Jeff Jarrett is back. And
I just find the whole thing with Punk, I was like, I only seen a clip there the other day of like Triple H on Stone Cold's podcast, and I know people don't like Triple H, and I know that him and Punk didn't get on.
Yeah.
But, like, he was...
I like him and I don't like him.
Yeah.
Triple H.
I like him, yeah. Well, I mean, I do like him, but I can definitely see why people don't. But, like, he was, like... Austin was asking him about Punk and all this, and he was kind of like... He's like, and I'm not... Like, Triple H has a way of putting things that he says isn't a knock, but you know he is actually having a pop. He's like,
of course.
He's like, I didn't know who he was before he came. You know, we had the show every week. We don't have time to be watching outside or whatever. And he was just like, he's a weird guy. He's like, and I'm not saying that as a, you know, he'd always try and say like, I'm not saying this, but you know, that sort of stuff. But like, Then you have his whole promo of, which I think is great, by the way. He's like, I am so sick of you calling yourself a martyr. You know, it's like, some people like the WWE. Could it be better? Yeah, it could be better. And blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you only like change if it benefits you, if you're on top. And I was like, fucking yes. Every time I see it, I watch it. Every time I see it online, I watch it. I'm like, fucking get him. Get him,
it's
get
so
him, Paul.
Rich coming. It's so rich coming from him.
Yeah, I know.
The guy who like fucking killed everyone's push in the mid 2000s.
Yeah, but he
like,
wasn't. He wasn't a complainer. He was a doer. You know what I mean?
He was
at least he was an asshole.
That giant snot of his up fucking McMahon's hole, like.
Yeah,
and like you know what bugs me about him is like he had this whole NXT thing.
Yeah,
like he created it. It was great.
It was. I remember that.
And then they went up against AEW. In you know, they moved onto TV when AEW got a deal, a TV deal. When they and they were like, oh, they're going head to head with AEW, and like they lost every week bar 1 week or something like that. Like Adam and then they had him since he's now Triple H is now running WWE, but there was like he was like somebody asked him. I think Ariel Helwani asked him about it, and he was like, "Oh yeah, they beat our developmental big deal."
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I was like, "That's bullshit!" Like, you know, fucking.
Why is it? Why is it though that like if you see he's on and it's something new, you'll watch it? Like, why is that? Is it just because he's? Is it like. Like, what do you think of Triple H? Like, do you find him as like enigmatic as I find him? You just can't
yes
look away,
no.
You know what I mean?
Yes and no. I used to. Like, I think it was just because it's a, like a large part of my childhood.
I think his comeback in 2001 it plays a large part in my liking him still. After
like
that
you were a big
surgery.
Evolution head. Yeah. That was like that was the time where I'm like, I'm not watching wrestling at the moment. Like if I'm watching wrestling, I might watch SmackDown, which he has no involvement with, and like Kurt Angle is putting on like 5-star bangers over there. Meanwhile, he's like stinking up the Raw show, the fucking snore fest over there.
I just can't watch it now, and it was a slow burn that started. I remember specifically when Joni was 3 weeks old and she had some sort of meltdown when I was trying to watch WrestleMania, one of the ones, the one whatever one was 2015, and since then I was bet into it right up until then, and then I missed a few weeks, and then slowly now I try to watch, like we watched a few for the pod, and I'm like, I'm trying to, you know what I mean, it doesn't get me. I love all the lore and I love all the backstage drama, that stuff about Punk and all. I love that. I love listening to people talking shop about wrestling. I just don't like watching the product, you know what I mean? I'll see the odd clip on YouTube, I'm like, oh fucking hell, that was deadly, or you know, something like that, but yeah, I don't know, I'm trying, like it's kind of the same with UFC. I can't really get into it.
I that ship is
because I remember you you've been gone a while, but like
I tapped out about 10 years ago,
pardon the pun.
I don't get it.
Tap out, you tap, it's a doesn't matter.
I forfeit? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Uncle. I said uncle on that long time ago, friend. But anyway, look, I mean, look, I want to talk briefly about the footy.
We got 3 minutes.
Okay.
Make a count.
Okay, Liverpool are dog shit this year.
It's delicious.
Oh my God, it's so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. And
I think it's hilarious.
I mean, and I'm just thinking, like, he's like Klopp seventh season syndrome. We all remember what happened to Dortmund. I'm trying to not let that creep into my thoughts. Remember that on his last year in Dortmund?
Yeah, he got fired, didn't he?
No, he didn't get fired. Did he? No, he didn't.
I think he got sacked, yeah.
No chance. Did he? Maybe
Tuchel took over.
Oh.
Let me have a quick Google there. You keep going.
You must be bloody happy anyway with your beloved Red Devils and all that.
Hey,
shit.
We're going good at the moment.
What do you think of Anthony?
I love him.
Fidget spinner. 90 million quid for a fidget spinner.
What's that?
That's what they're all saying online. The bozos online are saying.
He stepped down as manager. I tell you, that was like, it was the game against Sheriff last week, and he did his little spear and then tried the pass, and the pass didn't come off, but like Paul's goes like, I would have taken him off at half time. Or like, you know,
out of,
I'm like, when, like, just like,
I've watched every episode of Gary Neville's Overlap except for the Paul Scholes one, because I'm like, I don't give a shit what this fucking grouch has to say about anything, this toe-sucking loser.
That's the thing. Apparently, like, Anthony wrote, like, when somebody said, he's like, he sucks his daughter's toe, so I don't care what he thinks. And I was like, yes.
Win.
Yeah.
That's a win.
I don't know, like Graeme Souness, like, talking about football these days. Like, I still think Anthony's going to be found, oh, not Anthony, Martinez is going to be found out. He's like probably been the best defender in the league, yeah, like since the first two games.
I just,
like, he's gonna get pinned down. He's too small, and like, and then his argument to support it was like, I told you Pogba was a pudding. Who was the first person to say Pogba was pudding? And like Jim White is like, yeah, that was you. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's almost as if they are completely different players,
yeah, it's with just like
attitudes,
saying,
and personalities.
I was right about that, so I'm right about this. Remember, I was right about exactly that one thing.
Yeah. And like the fucking Ronaldo, that's the only thing that's been like bugging me.
Yeah,
the like Roy Keane Ronaldo shite. Like,
where,
even like,
where do you stand on that?
Get him out of the club. He offers nothing to us at the moment.
Yeah,
he like makes us a worse team. We won the game tonight 1-0.
Oh yeah,
against Sociedad. But we came second in the group because we were level on points with them and they scored a goal extra. So we needed to win by two.
Yeah.
And he had a fucking golden chance to just like dink it over the keeper and like didn't take it. I was like, that's what you're in the team for.
Yeah.
Fucking to score goals. And you're not even doing that. Like, and Keno, like, Keno's like, he scores a goal every other game. Like, does he fuck?
Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah. He's fucking shite. Like, at this point, like, I would defend him last year because I thought,
yeah, he did a great actually, job for you last year.
And I don't think it was his fault. I think the whole thing was a shambles last year. This year, you can see that the manager has implemented a style of play that doesn't suit him.
Yeah.
And he's throwing his toys out the pram, and all his fucking mates on the WhatsApp thread are like licking his hole in the media. Like, oh.
What's this thing? Like, he keeps going up to the pundits mid talking. That's driving fuck me off, mad. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like, who the fuck?
Who
like,
is he snubbed this week? You know?
It's like Gary Neville. Like, I loved Neville's thing. It's like, I wouldn't be fucking, if I was him, I wouldn't care about Gary Neville.
Yeah.
And like, Michael Richards, like, he used to play with me. He's like, doesn't act like somebody used to play with me. Or doesn't act like somebody like that would play him with Keane. Like, and I was like, yes, Gary.
Get him.
Fucking yes.
Get him. I was on.
Get him out.
When I was on that Liverpool podcast the other week. And I was like, but it was very much, I was like, I like Gary Neville. And the guy who I was on with was like, it's like, I don't like him.
You what?
I think he's like, because there was a question on it, who's your favourite pundit? And I was like, I still got to be Carragher and Neville. Like, you know, they have their moments where they're both, you know, not.
For me, it's Neville. Carragher sometimes, like, is not objective enough.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, Neville can be objective about Man United, and like, he talks sense generally.
Yeah,
I do think he's the best. I tell you who I like as well. I never thought I would come around to say this, but War Al.
Alan Shearer.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I like Alan Shearer.
I tell you who I don't like. Who? As much as Andy Ryan, our beloved Andy Ryan, our friend Kenny Cunningham. Like,
I don't like him at all. His eyebrows, if you ever see Kenny Cunningham talk, his eyebrows are just moving up every 3 seconds independently from whatever he's saying. Folks, if you're watching Kenny Cunningham, like, he'll be talking and blah, 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 blah. His eyebrows just go up. Like, what's happening?
It's like one of those light displays that's doing, you know, a design.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I tell you, I'd love to get that CBS yoke that was like Kate Abdo, Thierry Henry, Carragher and Mika. Now, yeah. I'm sure it's completely unhinged because they seem to really let them off the leash on that. But like, it seems like the most fun, like where like the match will be over and you'd still look forward to what's coming.
It also seems very performative.
It does, yeah.
Like, they were looking at something that was like Xabi Alonso's touch on the, you know, he like laid it off and it was like they throw it to Mika. And he's in like shoes and like takes a bad touch and like Carragher is like falling onto the floor like like
it's it like, can be okay, a bit, it can be a little bit much. I think he
but no, I generally I enjoy it like
well look, Terry
I promised I'd vacate this room 3 minutes ago, and you
4 minutes ago,
and you also and gonna, have I'm, your eight radio
record. So. I have to record some yeah, catch me on the old social media, the Boy Toner on Twitter, and don't know what it is on Instagram, TerryToner22 maybe. That's the one. Or, you can find, I normally post when I'm going to be on the radio, doing a bit of, still doing the 8 radio stuff.
It's so good stuff, folks. I've discovered some good stuff from that, so yeah.
If you want to listen to these, you know,
dulcet this voice tones.
There you go. Yep, that's the word. You can find me over there to keep you going. That's my plug. Me and Andy, we're probably going to jump on maybe again. Post baby for me, yeah. But pre podcast launching up. This was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's gone by too quickly.
It has been too quick. I'm just getting settled in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to catch up, and we will do the odd pod. I'll still probably do the odd. I'm going to review that Arctic Monkeys album. Whew, Terry, you didn't even talk about that. So I'll review that soon and stick it up on the Patreon to the patrons. And yeah, that's kind of it.
Good to be back, huh? Just the two of us.
Are you setting up the outro song there? Is that what you're doing?
You and I.
Doctor placed you in my arms. I knew I'd meet death before I let you meet harm. Although questions arose in my mind, would I be man enough against wrong? Choose right and be standing up. From the hospital that first night, took an hour just to get the car seat in right. People driving off fast got me kind of upset. Got you home safe, placed you in your bassinet. That night I don't think one wink I slept. As I slipped out my bed to your crib I crept. Touched your head gently, felt my heart melt. Cause I knew I loved you more than life itself. Into my knees, and I beg the Lord, please let me be a good daddy. All he needs, love, knowledge, discipline too. I pledge my life to you.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you.
Just the two of us.
Years old, bringing comedy. Every time I look at you, I think, man, a little me just like me. Wait and see, gonna be tall. Makes me laugh, cause you got your dad's ears and all. Sometimes I wonder what you gonna be. A general, a doctor, maybe an MC. I wanna kiss you all the time, but I will test that butt when you cut out a line. True that, why you do that? I try to be a tough dad, but you be making me laugh. Crazy joy when I see the eyes of my baby boy. I pledge to you, I will always do everything I can, show you how to be a man. Dignity, integrity, honor, and I don't mind if you lose, long as you came with it. And you can cry, ain't no shame in it. It didn't work out with me and your mom, but yo, push come to shove, you was conceived in love. So if the world attacks and you slide off track, remember one fact, I got your back.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you. Against the world.
Building castles in the sky. Just the two of us, you and I, yeah.
It's a full-time job to be a good dad. You got so much more stuff than I had. I gotta study just to keep with the changing times. 101 Dalmatians on your CD-ROM. CD, I'm trying to pretend I know on my PC where that CD go. But yo, ain't nothing promised. One day I'll be gone. Feel the strife, but trust life does go on. But just in case, it's my place to impart. One day some girl's gonna break your heart. And ooh, ain't no pain like from the opposite sex. Gonna hurt bad.
bad, but don't take it out on the net, son. Throughout life, people will make you mad, disrespect you and treat you bad. Let God deal with the things they do, cause hate in your heart will consume you too. Always tell the truth, say your prayers, hold doors, pull out chairs, easy on the swears. You're living proof that dreams come true. I love you and I'm here for you.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you. Taking the world. Down, hold my hand, hold my hand. Just me and you.
I'm always here for you.
Look over your shoulder, I'll be there.
Whatever you need, ooh, just call on me.
We gon' rise,
whatever
we gon' shine.
I'll be there for you anytime. You and I.
True that, true that.
Just the two.
Woo!
Just the two.
Daddy loves you. Woo!
Just the two of us.
You and I. For the rest of your life.
Just the two of us.
That's a really good song. How much am I getting paid for this, Dad?